Hi everyone, we're going to be reading from John's Gospel. So the Bible reading is John 1, verse 1 to 14, and you can find it on page 739. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And thanks for turning the lights on.
Hi, everyone. For those of you I haven't met, and for those of you I have met, my name is Luke. It's my honour and privilege to preach from God's Word today. Please keep your Bibles open at John chapter 1. Before I start, please bow your heads and let's pray together. Father God, you provide so abundantly. Your word is deep and rich. Please help us to understand. Please use your powerful word today to change our lives. Change us to be more like your Son, Jesus. Amen. Today, I want you to join me as we explore this part of God's Word. This passage is rich and deep and wondrous. There are profound truths here that will alter your life if you accept them. God reveals that he is all about relationship and he wants you to know and receive his Son, Jesus. After I've finished speaking, I'm going to ask you to receive Jesus as your King. And I'm going to pray a prayer asking God to welcome you as his child. If you already have or want to receive Jesus today, I encourage you to pray that prayer with me in your heart to God. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Today, I have 2 points. Point one, the Word, and point two, the world. Point one, the Word focuses on who Jesus is. The Word relates and the Word reveals. The God who gives you life relates to you through Jesus, and he reveals the light of his glory to you through Jesus. Point two, the world focuses on your response to who Jesus is. Will you either reject or receive God's Word? God has done everything for you, and you can either reject or receive his generous invitation. Starting with point one, the Word relates, focusing on verses 1 to 8. It's important that we clarify straight away, the Word refers to Jesus, and this passage tells us some pretty amazing things about him. By naming Jesus Word, John is telling us that Jesus is representative of the Father's will. Similarly, our words, if our words are spoken truthfully and honestly, are representative of who we are. So Jesus, the Word of God, is representative of the Father. Let's read together from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, our Creator, God, was in relationship with Jesus. If the Word is God, like it says in verse 1, that means two things. Firstly, Jesus, who is the Word, is divine. He is God. Secondly, God is in relationship within himself. So by his very nature, God is a God who relates, because he is in eternal, intimate relationship with himself. I'm referring here to what is known as the Holy Trinity. God is one God, but three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. These three persons relate to each other, allowing God to be fully sufficient in himself. Before creation, we know God was a loving God because he, Father, Son, and Spirit, were in relationship together. If there is no Trinity, we cannot describe God as loving before we were created. This leads us to a defining truth about your life. You and I are wonderfully created in the image of this God. Let's read about it in verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He created you not to get love and joy for himself, but to share it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God creates mankind, he says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." You are created for relationship with your Creator because your Creator has relationship at the very core of who he is. Let me say that again. You are created for relationship with your Creator because your Creator has relationship at the very core of who he is. What's more, our relational needs can only be fulfilled through relationship with God. We yearn for closeness. We want good friends who you can depend upon, for a family who love you. But all too often, we are let down. We are left disappointed. We are left hurt and alone. I don't want you to misunderstand me. Community is a wonderful blessing that God has given us to enjoy. Community and friendship are both generous gifts from the good God. But these good gifts ought to point us to the good gift giver. The beautiful gift of human relationship should point us to our Creator, God. The God who is in eternal, perfect relationship with himself. Father, Son, and Spirit. He wonderfully created you and me in his image for the purpose of relationship with him. So, how does God relate to us? He speaks his powerful word, revealing his glory to us. This is point B, the word reveals. In verses 4 and 5, we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light of mankind gives life. God shines the light of his glory into the darkness of our lives by sending his Son Jesus, the Word. He's a God who speaks He speaks to all of us through the Bible. And in so doing, he shows you the light of his glory. The light guides your soul to the presence of its source. Let me say that again. The light guides your soul to the presence of its source. One of the ways that God shines the light of his glory in the darkness is through witnesses. We see this throughout the Old Testament. He sent prophets to declare his glory to Israel and to the nations. These prophets tell us who God is by relaying his words directly to us. Let's read John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John came to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the true light. God sent John so that through him all might believe. In verse 7, God is concerned with what you believe. He cares what you believe. What does God want you to believe? If we look ahead in verse 12, talking about Jesus, the true light. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This all seems like great news. We have a good creator, verse 3, who relates to us, his creation, through the word, verse 5. You can know him because he wants to reveal himself to you by his word, in verses 6 to 8. Verse 9 says that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. We're going to be in the presence of our creator. So, what's the problem? Why are we still separated from our God? That leads me into point 2, the world. Focusing on verses 9 to 14. This glorious word in whom we have life, the light of all mankind. We read in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The light shines in the darkness. Why was the light coming in the first place? Because without him, the world, you and me, we live in the darkness of sin. This darkness separates us from our Creator God, in whom is light and life. When you live in darkness, you can't see the radiant glory of your Creator. You can't fulfill the very purpose of your existence, which is relationship with God. That is why Jesus, the true light, came into the world. He came so that you may have life and light in his name. He came to die, to take away your sins and mine. Jesus came to shine in the darkness, revealing his glory. We read in verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, what does it mean to reject Jesus? It means to live in darkness, to reject his authority over your life. To reject Jesus means you think you know better than the Word, through whom the whole of creation came into being. It means to deny him, to accuse him, to break his body, to kill him in agonizing torture on the cross. So why does the light get rejected? We like to live in control of our own lives. If our life were a kingdom, we would put ourselves on the throne. That means to accept Jesus as king, we need to take ourselves off the throne. In our sin, in our darkness, we live to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves comfortable, to have other people think we've got everything together. We selfishly try to control our own purpose for God's creation. We desire riches. We desire status, comfort, intimacy for ourselves. We seek these creations, ignoring the good God who created them. So when Jesus, the Word, came into the world, even though God had sent witnesses so that we might believe, we rejected him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. How wonderful is that news? All of the good things which we crave for so deeply in this world are found right here. We're looking for riches. God offers us eternal life in a city paved with gold. We look for status. God offers us the right to be his children. We look for comfort. God offers us the comfort of himself, a perfect, loving Father. We look for relationship. God, who has been in perfect relationship with Jesus since beginning of time, extends his invitation to you. God says to you, I created you. I love you. I sent my only Son, Jesus, whom I love for you, so that in his name you can be my child and have life. I want you to believe in him. So I sent witnesses to tell you about him. I have done everything so that you would believe in my Son, Jesus. How do you respond to this indescribably gracious offer? God draws a very clear line. Whether you are in the light or in the darkness is determined by Jesus and Jesus alone. There is no other way to become God's child. We can never escape the darkness of this world by ourselves. Rejecting the Word is to accept darkness, which leads to death. Recognizing Jesus, the true light, as ruler over your life, leads you into life and light as God's child. There is no other way to have life. Everything rests on Jesus and Jesus alone. Even our ability to believe in his name depends on him. Will you reject him? Or will you receive him? What does it look like to receive Jesus? To believe in his name? Well, it's completely life-changing. I have a friend who, his life changed completely when he was in year 12. Before then, he lived life chasing the pleasures of this world. He was pursuing status and fame as a jazz trumpeter. He was seeking comfort and intimacy with girlfriends. He was convinced that a man's highest purpose in life was his own happiness. Through the faithful witness of one of his friends, he learned about Jesus. He became more and more aware that the things he pursued could never actually fulfill his deepest desire. One day, God softened his heart. He came to believe that Jesus' claim to be the Son of God was true. On that day, he prayed, humbly asking God to forgive his sins, and accepted Jesus as his King. He believes in the name of Jesus, the true light. The whole purpose of his life changed dramatically. His priorities changed. He gave up his lifelong ambition to be a jazz trumpeter because his ambition was now to follow Jesus. He now lives declaring the good news about Jesus to others as God's child. His life was completely changed because of his King. How will you respond to Jesus? Will you receive him? God's generous offer is really clear. Today, I urge you, receive Jesus, who brings light and life. Jesus is the only way to receive what you were created for, relationship with God. So, how do we live if we have received Jesus? If we believe in his name now, what do we do? Well, later in John's Gospel, in chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says these words, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus has loved you because of his relationship with the Father. Jesus is faithful in keeping his Father's commands. That means that if you receive Jesus, he tells you, remain in his love by keeping his commands. So what does Jesus command? In that same chapter, John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus tells us to love each other as Jesus himself has loved us. He tells you not only how to live, but he shows you how to live. I want to finish today by posing three challenges to you. Firstly, the Word of God, the Bible, reveals who Jesus is, and it has God's authority to change your heart. I want to challenge you to read the Gospel of John. In it, you'll see the story of Jesus' life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, and you'll see throughout John's Gospel, Jesus claims that he is the Son of God. As you read through the gospel, marvel at the ways that Jesus has loved you. He has loved all of us beyond our ability to fully comprehend. A theologian, J.C. Ryle, wrote about John's gospel, saying, "There is something here which nothing but the light of eternity will ever reveal." That leads us to challenge number two. Respond to Jesus' claim. Will you receive him? Will you believe in his name? God wants you to accept his generous offer to be his child. Will you do it? If you want to receive Jesus tonight and you're unsure about how to do it, please come and talk to me after the service. There is nothing that would give me more joy. Challenge number three, if you have received Jesus, I challenge you to remain in his love. This remain is not static or comfortable, like remaining on a couch for an entire weekend. Jesus commands us to remain in his love. He commands us to lay down our lives for our friends. I challenge you to love radically. Be generously hospitable. Be faithful in friendship. Be prepared to love like Jesus, who left the comfort of the Father's throne above. He took on flesh. He bore our sins on the cross. He laid down his perfect life for you, and he rose from the dead. I'm now going to lead us in a prayer. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, then I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. If you already have accepted Jesus into your life, then I encourage you to pray this with me too. This prayer is a prayer of our hearts confessing our sins to Jesus. The words should appear up on the screen. Let's pray together. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Saviour and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to remain in your love. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.